Welcome to the greatest men's club in the world. It's not a country club, it's a grilling club, where every weekend they're going to talk about taking an animal and throwing it on some scorching flames and turning it into the tastiest morsels of goodness on this earth. As a matter of fact, it's kind of caveman, but they don't drag women into their cave. No, they're going to teach you how to make that food so good you can lure them into your cave and keep her hair looking good. When you want to find the center of the barbecue universe, just look at a map of North America and look for that big grilling mitt. That's where they're at. It's the Grilling Guys.
You are listening to the Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, get up, get your feet on the floor, and get out in your backyard and fire up a grill. I'm Jop. He's Barbecue Bob. What's cooking, baby?
The world's on fire, Jop. The world's on fire. It's time to grill.
That's right. Get your beef ready, because that's what it's going to all be about today. Is we're going to beef it up. We're going to beef up your grilling prowess, create a little grill envy in your neighborhood when we put some standing cow on the heat. What you thinking, man?
Well, I prefer to lay it down.
Right.
Yeah, welcome. Thanks for joining us. It is the Grilling Guys. You can check us out at thegrillingguys.com anytime you want. You can click on a link there for podcasts. You can like us on Facebook. And I'm on Twitter. It's Grilling Guy. But personally, myself, I am not on Facebook any longer.
Yeah, what I saw that
I
come
gave
through.
I gave up. I watched that little weasel testifying to the Congress. And I said, I don't want this guy to have my data.
Yep.
He was sleazy.
Well.
And I am not. I'm done. I wiped everything. I don't want to be mined anymore. Same reason I got rid of Google. I'm using nothing but proprietary emails, and I'm not Googling squat because I'm sick of these people making billions off of my quest.
Yeah, well, maybe your information isn't quite that profitable, but I bet everybody's is, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
I say dump Facebook.
Okay.
You can like us on thegrillingguys.com. You don't need Facebook.
Well, it's your prerogative. It's because everybody gets a choice. Nobody's paying for Facebook. It's your each and everybody's
decision.
Well,
you are. You're paying with your dignity. They're selling your data. Well, that's why every time you're on your computer and you look at something, like 2 minutes later, there's a banner ad. I was like, wow.
Yeah, how did they know?
Why is there a picture of my bathroom on this ad?
Right, yeah.
Creepy.
Exactly. So anyway, let's get into what a little more Grilling Guys centric.
I just had to do a rant.
I understand that they come daily. So we were all fortunate enough to have that one shared with us. So, but we're going to beef it up today, and I want to talk a little bit about a process I'm in the middle of right now, and that is dry aging some standing rib roasts. And I bought one, and it didn't quite fill my area that I wanted to fill, so I went and bought another one. They're a day apart, no big deal. But I wanted to talk a little bit about what it is, why it is, and what I'm expecting to be the end product of all of this.
That's
thing.
A mouthful.
Right. So I bought a couple standing rib roasts. I had the bones cut off them and then trussed back on them just because I like that bone when I am drying it out. I feel it holds a little bit of more moisture than I don't have all four sides exposed. But so I've got two standing primes, and the reason that you do this is that there's two kinds of aging. There's a wet aging and a dry aging, and really the difference is the wet aging is in that cryovac, right, that plastic that they get shrink-wrapped with. There's moisture in there.
Right.
You can thaw out one of those or buy one fresh and just leave it in your refrigerator for 30 to 45 days, and there's a key there. When I say refrigerator, two things come to mind is, one, you want constant temperature. So don't put it in your everyday refrigerator. I've got a little, I call them dorm fridges, but the half-height fridge. I only dry age meat in this thing, okay? And I leave the door closed. And the second thing is if you're below 33 degrees, you get no aging because the moisture in the meat is frozen. And if you get above 37 degrees, you'll get bacteria growing, okay? So you want to be in that 4-degree, 5-degree window right there from 33 to 37 where your aging will happen.
In the safety zone.
Yeah, in that safety zone. And what you want it is you want that consistent, so you don't want to put it in the fridge that you're opening seven times a day where the heat and the cool and the temperature is going to fluctuate a lot.
You also let in humidity when you're doing
right.
That.
So I went online, and we talked to these guys about a year ago. There's a company called a Steak Ager, which is just a little chamber that you put in your refrigerator. It's got a little fan on it with a charcoal filter, so it sucks away some of the natural process of the meat drying out. is going to seem like it's spoiling, but it's a natural process of the drying, and it's the blood coming out and the moisture coming out of the meat. Because when this process is done, you're going to have about 30% less weight than you had when you started. Because what a dry aging does is it lets the enzymes in the meat break down the connective tissue and the muscle that is in that steak. And it makes it two things. It makes it more tender, and it concentrates the flavor. Those are the two reasons why we're going to dry age a piece of beef, is I want it more tender, and I want it to be more flavorful.
Right. And then, so you get 30% less, but now you're going to have to carve off another 20% of the outside to get that funky stuff off before you cook.
And you're exactly right. And that's you've heard Bob use this term before, of a pellicle. We use it a lot when we're talking about fish. When we're brining fish, it'll form a pellicle on the outside. It's the same thing, and that's a process where that outer quarter inch is dried out so much that it's hard and crusty. So picture your standing prime sitting on the bench after you've got it dry aged. You're going to take your knife and cut down one side of it and take a quarter inch off. Go to the other side and take a quarter inch off. And then because it's curved, right, it's round, it's really hard to run a knife down
right.
that. So what I do then is cut it into the steaks that I'm going to want to grill. And when I get the steak laying flat on the board, then
trim
I run
right
my
around
knife
it.
Around the outer
edge. So you have
edge
less waste that way.
Right.
That's
I have a lot
that's
less
a great
waste.
Idea. It's actually the process of rigor mortis taking place is what's going on.
Yeah, it is. It's a little more firm. You're exactly right. And to draw that
But
parallel.
When you get on the inside,
yeah.
what you get is heavenly. Probably 6-7 years ago when I was in Chicago, I used to call on Backyard Barbecue. Danny over there, the greatest grill shop in Chicago. He hooked me up with his buddy, who is a butcher, who specializes in aging meat.
Right.
He had lamb, beef. So I was going up to see my favorite uncle who lived north of Chicago.
Yep,
I always
that.
Had that tech
yep.
in my back.
Right.
And fortunately, I did do this because he passed away shortly after
right.
that.
Yep, I remember that.
So I bought three of these cowboy steaks in that shop. Now, by the time I got them, he had already done the trimming. He cut these things at about an inch and a half, and then he cowboyed them up with that nice handle on them.
Right.
When I opened them up and my uncle saw them, I mean, you'd have thought it was the greatest thing he ever saw. But what was better was all I did was put a little sea salt and pepper on them, grilled them to medium rare.
Right.
And I'm telling you, it is to this day the best steak I've ever eaten in my life.
And they always will be, because that concentrated flavor and that additional tenderness is amazing. Now, one thing that you didn't say, because you're humble, is that you spent about $39 a pound for that meat.
I spent $120 for three steaks.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. But my point is, the reason that is one, it's a process. Somebody's got to go through this.
Oh, yeah.
But two, you're already starting with $16.99 a pound meat, and you're going to lose 30 to 40% of it
easily.
In weight. And by the time you trim it, you've lost about half.
Yep.
So this is not for feeding the neighborhood.
No.
Right? This is for a special occasion, but I just started it back in March. Like I said, I'm about 2.5 weeks in right now. And the last thing I want to tell you about it is, if you can dry these things 3 to 4 weeks, you're after tenderness only. But if you go to that 4th to 5th week, that's when you get that famous dry aged flavor. Okay, so your 28 to 35 days is the sweet spot, keeping it at that temperature zone.
And a lot of guys who sell aged beef, they pretty much have it at 28 days, because that's where it begins, and it's really, really good there, and they need to get their money back out of
Absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
So a lot of aged meat you'll see, well, they'll say 28
right.
or 31 days. That's and it'll be fine. You'll love it.
Right in the sweet spot. But this isn't hard to do. There's YouTube videos everywhere. You can check this stuff out on the internet, but just do what they say you should do, because
yeah.
that temperature and time, like a lot of things in grilling, makes all the difference.
And if you're going to grill it for mama, you want to make her happy, you get the love zone.
Yeah. Coming up next, maybe part of the love zone's your tri-tip. Stick with us. We'll be back.
And the veterans talk about their battle scars. I love this bar.
This is Jop from the Grilling Guys, and I want to talk to you about Garrett's Appliances, which is your one-stop shop for all your barbecue supplies, tools, grills, and smokers in West Michigan. Garrett's has grills for your outdoor kitchen. In fact, we at Home Life Outdoor Kitchens use them exclusively as our supplier for the very best equipment available. That's GarrettsAppliances.com, GarrettsAppliances.com.
Hey, when's the last time you had a really great root beer float? Brings back memories, doesn't it? Well, over at Schmoe's, we make root beer and black cherry soda just to bring back those memories. We've got six packs to go if you don't have time to hang around for a pint or a float. But bring the kids, grab a free basket of popcorn, and make your own memories with that new generation. Schmoe's Brewery, Grand Rapids, Michigan, located on Patterson, just north of 28th Street.
Satisfaction's been our aim since 59, been at the top of our game. We stand behind our name. We live it, we love it. Allen Bob Sports, sportsmen serving sportsmen.
The Grilling Guys are happy to introduce Fenn Valley Vineyards. Fenn Valley Vineyards is the oldest family-owned winery in Michigan, located in the middle of 45 acres of vineyards carpeting the rolling hills near Lake Michigan. Fenn Valley has prided itself in the production of classic European-style wines for the past 22 years. Visit their tasting rooms at the Vineyard Orange Saugatuck, Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. On Sunday, they're open from 1 to 5. Go to FennValley.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week. We're beefing it up. It's the middle of April, and tax season is right around the corner here, and it just makes me want to burn something. So we're going to put a little beef on the grill. And Barbecue Bob, one of your favorite cuts of meat, you rant and rave about this, is called a tri-tip. Why is that?
Do I really rant and rave about it?
You do. Believe me. You talk about that cut more than you talk about almost any.
Well, I think it's a value. I think, you know, what a lot of people in the Midwest don't play with is a tri-tip. And it's an easy piece of meat to cook. And you can go to your favorite butcher. I get mine at Sobeys. Shocker.
Right.
But now, depending on who you buy it from, you've got to be careful because it may be trimmed or it may not be trimmed. And what this thing looks like is a three-dimensional sort of elongated triangle or almost in a diamond shape, you know?
Okay.
It's an odd shape. If you took a cross-section of it, yeah. Yeah, it's in an odd shape, but it's skinnier on one end, big and angular on the other end, and it's just a beautiful piece of meat. Typical tri-tip's going to be 2 to 2.4 pounds probably. Right in there. So
and where's
not
this on the
big
price meter?
I'm going to say you can pick up a nice one for $8 a pound.
Okay.
Maybe 10 if it's a prime. But I found them as low as like $6 a pound. So if they're on sale, you have a hard time going wrong with it. But now, if you get it from a big box store, let's say you're in Costco. If you buy them there, they're going to be cryovac'd and they're not going to be trimmed. The important thing is that you have a nice sharp trimming knife and you take the silver skin and the little weird pieces off the outside, whatever it is, cartilage. And so you want to clean it up nice because it's a lean piece of meat and it's got a kind of a cool marbling in it that's very unique. It doesn't look like marbling. It's like a fleck, but it does have some fat in it. But not a lot. So that's why you never want to cook it over medium rare. Now, the famous Brand's restaurant chain made their claim to fame on the Tommy Brand Sizzler or Johnny Brand Sizzler. And that was actually sliced up tri-tip from what I'm told. Now, some people say it's a ball tip. It could be, but I make steaks out of tri-tips as well. If you just cut it across the grain at an inch thick, rub it down with oil, it is a beautiful piece of meat.
But I'm again, you put the oil on there to get a little moisture in it because it is so lean.
You got to be careful. Right. Yeah. So if I'm going to grill it, I'm going to oil it up and just flash it real quick, medium rare.
Seasoning stay on it better a little bit.
You got to season it first. Yeah. Season it first and then put your oil on. And again, I'm just going to do something real simple on it. But so if you've trimmed it up and you want to smoke it, you could marinate it. You could pre-rub it and wrap it overnight if you wanted, but be very careful not to have too salty of a mix because it's pretty lean and you don't want to draw it too much moisture. So I'm probably just going to salt it and throw it on the smoker. I'm going to put some salt and pepper, garlic, whatever my favorite blend is, your favorite blend, and I'm going to throw it on the smoker at about 225 for about 2 hours. And take your digital probe out there and hit the fat part of the center. When that is 130, 135, pull it.
Okay.
I pulled mine the other day at 137, and they were fantastic.
And it'll go up 3 or 4 degrees when you first take it off, but you let it on the bench to rest another 5-10 minutes, and when you slice it up, it'll be right there at that medium rare.
Yeah. Level. I wrapped it in foil. And
what? You put anything in foil? Can't be.
Yeah, I wrapped it. Well, it was hot. I didn't want to put plastic on it. So I wrapped it in foil and let it rest for a half an hour. And I pulled it out and I let my asparagus and beets. I showed you the picture of that stuff I cooked for my buddies last week.
Yeah, I'm not a big beet guy, but okay.
That's okay. I didn't force anybody to eat them. So I'm on a health kick. I'm trying to eat all this healthy stuff, and beets are a superfood. So
sure.
I'm trying to get my body healthier.
Right. And as we age, you and I anyway,
everybody.
That's a little tougher.
Everybody.
That's a little tougher to do.
It is. And that's where Snap Fitness comes in.
Right.
A little plug for Snap Fitness of West Michigan. So I brought it up to about 137, parked it. When I shaved it off, I generally cut the tip off a little early because I need to test the meat and see if it's right.
Well, and it'll get overdone. Obviously, that's the smallest part. Right.
It's going to. So before I even probe that, I'll look at that end and I'll see it's kind of perfect and I'll just lop it off and set it on the platter. And then
does that ever make it inside?
This one did, actually.
The tip did?
I brought it in and these guys were starving, so So I carved up little pieces
little
and
appetizer.
Asked them if they thought they'd like it.
Yeah, right. How's this going to be in 10 minutes, guys?
Yeah, that's a fun thing to do
it
if you're on the grill, right?
Right.
Everybody wants to hand out the little snacks to the seagulls.
Seagulls, yeah.
You could do the same process on your grill because a lot of you don't have smokers.
Right.
So you just do it in an offset fashion.
Mm-hmm. And what Bob's speaking of there is your grill either has a left and right burners. If you got multiple burners, the front or the back half, whether they go lateral or they go horizontal, you want to light up a section to create heat, but you want to leave another section cool. And there is where you put the actual protein or the product, in this case the tri-tip, on the cool side, because you're not trying to grill it. You're almost trying to hit it with convective heat and bake it.
But you're assuming it's gas.
Right. Yeah, exactly. If you might have a charcoal grill. And if that's the case, which is better, frankly, for the tri-tip, is you just build your fire on one side of the grill. So you can control it with gas or you can control it with the charcoal,
right.
Either way.
That's right. And you can even build your fire in the center. And like once you get it nice and hot and nice red coals, just have a shovel or something, whatever you use to manipulate your hot coals, scrape them all to one side, then put your rack on and you're good to go.
Right. Right.
Because like in a kettle, it's hard to do it just on a side. You got to kind of do it.
You know, and we talked about that last week, and I want to issue my correction out here, is that we were talking about a big green egg and how hard it was to use that as an open grill. And you pointed out to me after the show, and you were spot on right, is like you can use your big green egg or your kettle grill, your Kamado grill, right? Those are all the same thing, different names for the same thing. You can use that as a charcoal grill. My assumption was I put too much charcoal in it, right? When I load that thing up, it gets 800 degrees.
Well, because you're generally smoking on it.
Right, and you damper the air. So when I open the lid to turn it into a grill, it's like, bam, I've got an 850 degrees.
So you didn't shave your eyebrows.
Right. So the correction is that if you're going to use a Kamado as a grill, use much less fuel, and when you get it set, move it to one side so you can adjust how much heat's coming on the meat.
So when it comes back to tri-tips, just to wrap this up, if it's cryovac'd, it has not been trimmed. You're going to have to trim the silver skin off it.
Right.
Or you'll be unhappy because you'll be pulling like threads that are 3 feet long out of your mouth.
Yeah.
And that's just connective tissue. If it's from the butcher and he does a nice job cleaning it up, season it, rub some oil on it, throw it in the smoker on your grill. I mean, if it's a worst case scenario, throw that baby in the oven.
Yeah. Coming up next, we're going to tackle what I feel is the toughest, not tenderness-wise, but the toughest piece of meat on the grill or the smoker to get done correctly. And Barbecue Bob is somewhat of an expert on this. So,
chicken lips?
Yeah, no, we're talking beef brisket. And there's prep techniques and there's cooking techniques. So stick with us. We'll be back.
On a billboard, 1-800, get to know me. Wondered, was she photoshopped or were her eyes really that lonely? Did she leave her hometown thinking she'd end up in L.A.?
Have you missed episodes of The Grillin' Guys? Go to thegrillinguys.com and you can play episodes clear back to 2010. Subscribe to the podcast and you'll never miss another one again. That's thegrillinguys.com.
Howdy, it's Barbecue Bob from The Grillin' Guys. We're working hard on Operation GI Barbecue, which is an effort to send a plane load of barbecue to our troops. Right now, go to GIBBQ.com, look at the Sapphire Ceramic Grill on auction. You can bid on this $2,000 ceramic grill package at RepoCast.com. That's SAFFIRE at RepoCast. So remember our troops at GIBBQ.com.
Hi, it's Shasta from Old World Olive Press. We are a Michigan-based company with stores in Rockford, Grand Rapids, Plymouth, and Birmingham. Visit our tasting rooms to sample over 50 varieties of award-winning olive oils and balsamic vinegars, carefully sourced from small-batch artisans in both hemispheres. We have cooking demonstrations and private parties to help you experience the treasures we've discovered. Step into our kitchen, downtown Rockford, and our newest location on Monroe Center, Old World Olive Press. Let us help you bring the magic into your home. Go to Old World Olive Press.
Hey, you looking for a relaxed spot to come and have a beer with a couple of buddies? Swing on over to Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, that's just north of 28th Street, right by the ice rink. We've got 16 taps, free popcorn, free pool, and free Wi-Fi. There's even outlets underneath the bar if you need to charge your device. So come on over to Schmoe's, have a great beer, bring the kids, we even have root beer. See you soon at Schmoe's, 2600 Patterson, Grand Rapids, Michigan.
With the Grillin' Guys coming at you like a pit bull. We smoke butt, and it's a mittful. Backyard masters, barbecue blasters. Nobody smokes a T-bone faster. So when you see the Grillin' Guy rake, hit the brakes, it's gonna be big. Stick around and put down the rake. Fire up your grill, there's no need to bake. You bring the party, we'll bring the smoke. You're gonna eat so much you might choke. So here's how it goes, and everyone knows. You're gonna listen to the Grillin' Guys show.
Welcome back. You are listening to the Grillin' Guys show, and that was a Grillin' Guys rap. We were just talking about that. Is Barbecue Bob, might be time to write a new rap, man. That one's been with us. I love it. It's completely original by Barbecue Bob, so it's been our thing, but maybe we need to update a little
I'm
bit.
I'm sick
so,
of it.
Yeah, so we'll figure it out.
I can't stand it. Yeah. Let us know if you want a new one or
yeah,
you like that
right,
one.
Yeah, hit me on Facebook because, as you heard in the first segment, Bob is no longer there.
I ain't going to know.
I'll let him know that some of you would like us to rewrite the rap or do something different.
You but know, anyway. It wasn't only because I think Zuckerberg's creepy. It was because also I think it's a waste of time.
Well,
there's millions of ads coming at you, and then you've got all these people posting pictures. A mutual friend of ours sent his vacation pictures on there.
Right.
And there's no beautiful scenery. It's just his face with something in the background. You don't see. I want to see some nice.
Right.
I love the panoramics and, my cousin, she puts her paintings on and stuff. I love stuff like that. I don't need to see your face. No more selfies.
Or your cat or
Stop
what you
it.
Ate for dinner. Right. Yeah. I'm all of that. Anyway,
unless your cat's on the grill. Yeah. That's a good picture.
Hey, man, that almost cost us a lawsuit before when you told that story. So back off, brother. Back off. Let's put something edible on the grill, a beef brisket. We get questions on this probably more than any other cut of meat on how to do this right. So walk us through it, Bob, because I've admittedly, well, I can't touch your brisket.
And I, well, that's very kind of you, but we're always more critical of ourselves.
Right.
You know, your brisket's probably fine.
Yeah. Well, it's fine, but it's not
okay,
fine
so,
like yours.
So we cover this quite a bit, but I still run into tons of people who say, I just can't get my brisket down.
Right.
And so we'll try it one more time, brisket 101. To start with, it absolutely matters where you get your brisket.
Mm-hmm.
It really does. And I'm not saying you can't get a good one at a big box store. I'm saying it's iffy. So if you have a good butcher and he has a selection of brisket, go to him. Who cares if you pay a buck more a pound?
Right.
It's only going to be 8 to 12 pounds. So is 8 or 12 bucks the difference in you being a master or a you-know-what?
Right.
No, I'm not going to let 12 bucks stop me.
Well, and that's the first tip, is like if you want to know how to make a good brisket, start with a good product.
Yeah, so you buy yourself a nice brisket, and then you're going to want to make sure you have the proper, like a nice red wine, because this is a slow process.
Hey, yeah.
Okay?
Yeah.
So I'm going to have like a glass of Fen Valley Cab Sauv,
uh-huh.
Okay? And I'm going to have all my knives out, nice and sharp, a giant butcher board, because these monsters are big.
Right. You're looking at a three-foot-long piece of meat.
And then I'm going to have a garbage can open and ready, because once I start tearing into that thing, I don't want to be pulling on the drawer that pulls the garbage out.
Right.
I want to have that baby pulled open.
And or then, I've seen Zeus help you with that, too.
Well, I was just going to say, and I also have my trusty steed, the wonder dog Zeus knows when I'm trimming brisket. And I generally do it outside on a table under my canopy thing.
Right.
But if I'm doing it wherever I'm at, he knows what I'm doing, and he sits by just happily waiting. And what I do is I throw him the solid beef trimmings. I don't send him much fat.
Right.
Because he's 9 years to 11 years old. He doesn't need it. Neither do I.
But that dog can eat some brisket.
And raw beef is very good for your dog. If you're not giving him raw beef a couple times a week, talk to your vet. He'll probably tell you to do that.
Right.
So first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to go around the edge of that thing where it's been cryovac'd, and that heat shrink process kind of cooks the edges. So I want to get rid of all that because it looks nasty.
You'll see it. It's very evident where it's been like singed.
Yes, and Zeus will tell you that is a beautiful piece of meat. So I'm going to trim that off, and then I'm going to start trimming away at fat. And if it's a good brisket, you can trim about as much fat as you want to. As a matter of fact, I'd say the more fat you trim, the better. Because if it's a good brisket, it's so nicely marbled, you don't need that extra fat cap on the bottom. That's not going to help you. So let's get as much fat out of there as you can. And you're going to find little pockets that go in between the layers of the flat and the point. And that you're going to have like a nice boning knife is what I use to get that out. A sharp-tipped, fine-tipped, long blade that'll get in there and just let you sort of saw away at those pockets. And then start ripping it out and chuck that. Also, little point, you can, if you pull those beautiful pieces of fat out, you can throw them in a bag and freeze them. Because the chickadees and sparrows will love them next winter.
Sure.
And so I do save those. Yeah. I hate throwing them away.
So Bob, you mentioned between the point and the flat. Give us a little brisket anatomy before we go much further.
Well, the flat is, if you've ever had corned beef brisket, easy
that,
for you
yeah.
to say,
yeah.
That's a flat. They use the flat, and it's the boring piece of a brisket. And then on top of it's a little piece of heaven that looks like, if you look at a brisket like a 747, first class is up by the cockpit and that bubble that sticks up there. Well, the brisket's first class.
Yeah.
Okay, there's your airplane analogy.
Okay. Yeah, tie that in with your meat.
And it is a first class piece. The deckle or the point is just
the thicker piece.
My favorite part because it's very heavily embedded with fat. It's not necessarily marble. It's like a combination of fat and collagen and connective tissue that it's kind of gross looking, but when you cook it, it's fantastic looking. Now, what you can also have some fun with it when the product's done, and we'll talk about things to do with deckle later. But so carve all that up, and now when you look at the thing, you got your 747 out on the table. you'll notice the long flat end is the tail of the aircraft. And you'll see the grain of the meat is going to go towards one side.
You're getting a crosswind follow the analogy.
It is, yes. It's going to be on the starboard side,
right,
typically. And so follow that grain down, and it's kind of squared off at the end. I'm going to ask you to put a dog a tail or a
dog
45,
ear.
A dog ear, thank you, tail on the beer.
Planes, dogs, we're really talking about brisket.
45 that thing, cut it across at a 45-degree angle, and then angle your blade at a 45 so that you're doing a double bias. And why I want you to do that is because when you season this thing up, you're going to hide the look of that grain. When it comes out of the smoker, you might not be able to see the grain as carefully.
And the reason is you always want to cut this across the grain. So
always.
By putting that dog ear there, your knife blade has identified where across the grain is.
Yeah, and right? Then that little triangle is a nice little piece to pull off the smoker a little early because you're going to rub that up, smoke it, and then you can use that for burn ends.
So rub it up. What are you putting on there for seasoning?
I'm pretty lazy anymore. I used to think you had to do everything from scratch, but there's so many fantastic barbecue people in this country that have come up with time-tested recipes, and they sell it so cheaply. I have a hard time making rub for a brisket.
Right.
So I'm going to probably get Billy Bone's beef rub and put it on there, or his championship rub and put it on there, and everyone will love it.
Liberally or lightly?
Somewhere in between.
Okay, you're not going to cover it like you would a pork shoulder.
No, I'm not gonna. I'm not gonna put an obnoxious amount on like I would with a butt.
Right.
It's just not as thick, and right. You don't want to. You know, it's got that nice chuck flavor. You don't want to totally ruin the flavor. Matter of fact, sometimes I literally put sea salt and coarse black pepper.
Right.
And a nice way to do that is to go to like Gordon's Foods and get those big canisters of they call it restaurant grade pepper, and it's a coarse ground black pepper. You throw a bunch of that and a bunch of sea salt on the brisket, and I'm telling you, you're going to have a beautiful thing going there.
So temperature and time on the smoker?
I think I typically smoke at 275.
Okay, and what do I want to get the internal temperature to?
I like that temperature because I'm getting more smoke. And the first couple of hours, especially when it's absorbing smoke, I want to smoke it up as much as possible. I'm going to bring it up to about 150. And then I'm going to pull it off and wrap it,
okay.
And we'll talk about that in the next segment.
All right. Coming up next, we'll finish the brisket and go for the ribs. Stick with us. We'll be back.
From a genie in a bottle of Jim Beam, and she lies to you. That's when you learn the truth. If you're going through hell, keep on going. Don't slow down. If you're scared, don't show.
Wouldn't it be sweet if life just came with an assist when you needed it? At State Farm, we live for a great assist, and that's why State Farm agent Sterling Massey is proud to be a part of the NBA, the National Bureau of Assists. Whether you're driving the lane or defending the house, when it comes to assisting you with your insurance and financial needs, Sterling and his staff make it look as easy as a behind-the-back dime dropper. Call Sterling Massey at 616-532-6071.
Barbecue Bob, and I want to tell you about the biggest beer store in West Michigan. Siciliano's Market at 2840 Lake Michigan Drive has the most craft beers I've ever seen in one location. Siciliano's is a family business that works hard to bring you the best beers in the world to the West Michigan market. Visit Siciliano's and check out the huge selection of home brewing supplies as well. That's Siciliano's Market at SicilianoMKT.com.
If your window sticks, slips, squeak, or leak, then it's time to replace them with Anderson Windows from Standale Lumber's Home Center in Standale. Standard and custom sizes along with low-E glass, low-maintenance exteriors, and rich wood interior can turn simple window replacement into serious home improvement. You'll feel increased security, your home will be much quieter and more comfortable, but the increased curb appeal will make you proud of your home and its new facelift from your Anderson Windows and Standale Lumber's Home Center. 4100 Lake Michigan Drive, Standale, or find us on the web at standalelumber.com.
Have you ever wanted a great craft beer, but alcohol just isn't in the program that day? Well, the beer engineers at Schmoe's Brewing Company have engineered a beer just for you. A pale ale with less than 0.5% of alcohol. Ask for Schmoes 120 where you dine or drink. It's the non-alcoholic answer with a craft beer taste. Schmoes Brewing Company, Grand Rapids, Michigan, Beer City, USA.
About finishing up this brisket story. If you just tuned in, I'll recap this for you. Barbecue Bob had trimmed, he had seasoned, and he had put the brisket on the smoker at 275, and we were at the point where it got up to about 100, 155. What next, Bob?
Well, welcome back. I just want to say thank you to our producer, Mr. Brian Fonger. That's a little Darius, wasn't it? He's on the stick here, Fong. He's the wizard of the big board. He makes us sound better than we really are because we're really
it is magic what
we're
he
really
can do
a couple
with my
hacks.
My voice, yeah.
Oh, your voice is great for radio.
Yeah, right. It's the face part. Yeah, okay. Everybody do it now. Yeah.
Okay.
Back to 150.
I didn't say that. You did.
Back to 155 degrees that your brisket's at.
Yeah. So this is one of the few times again I bust Joppy's. Something's about using aluminum foil or aluminium foil. And this is one of those times when I'll actually use aluminum foil. And I've tried the butcher paper. I got to tell you, I'm not a fan. I'm just not a fan.
Doesn't seal it up tight.
It's, you know, I'm not a competition barbecue guy. I'm not trying to get graded on my bark. I'm going to get graded by how juicy and tender and beautiful that piece of brisket is from my wife or my buddy's wife or my buddy. It's not about, you know, some judge sitting behind some weird panel,
Who's looking for my greenery.
Yeah, right. I'm not going to do that either. So I want to wrap that thing in foil, and then I'm going to take just a little bit of beef broth and put
right out of the box.
Just regular out of the box, or maybe a porter. If I have a nice beer, I could use a porter. But what I'm going to add to it is a little Worcestershire.
Okay.
And that makes all the difference in the world. Oh. I wish the shear is a wonderful thing.
Yeah.
It really is. And you don't want to put too much in. You got to be careful. But
it's a little tangy.
But, you know, when we get done doing those big bunches of brisket, you know, that au jus that's in the bottom of that is a fantastic. My mouth's watering thinking about how good that is. But that's a beautiful thing. You could make brisket gravy out of that.
Right. So you wrap this thing at 155 degrees with a little bit of juice and Worcestershire
in
there.
And here's the key.
And then what?
Here's the key. You need that heavy-duty foil and the big rolls of it and lay out two sheets right off the bat. Because I'm going to set it on the first one. I'm going to pull the sides up, all four sides up, so it's kind of standing up. And then I'm going to pour a little bit of broth on the side of that so it puddles in the bottom. I'm going to wrap that thing up. And then I'm going to take that second layer of tin foil and do the same thing. I'm going to wrap that up again and scrunch it up nice in the top so that it is sealed.
Okay.
Now I'm going to throw it back in the smoker, whatever temperature you want, but I'm going to probably do it at the same 275 to 3 1/4, right where I've been. And if it's a charcoal fire, I might range from 275 to 3 1/4. You know that. Yeah.
Right.
You do that on
wind,
your big
temperature,
smoker. Yeah.
Yeah, all of that.
Yeah. So... And then I'm going to bring it up to 197, 196, right in there, and pull it.
Right. And then when you pull it off the smoker, you're letting it rest a while before you're going to get into it.
And that's a good point. Also, when I stick that probe in that, I want to make sure I'm in the center of that point in the thick end, not in the flat.
Right. And the flat won't be overdone. It'll be more done. But it won't be overdone. But you've got to get that thick part to that temperature before it's going to slice nice for you.
That's right. Now, you bring up something that I also do sometimes, and it's almost whimsical. You know, sometimes a mood hits you, and you go, I'm just going to do this.
Right.
Sometimes with briskets, I'll just cut that flat off right where the decal, the point, and the flat meet. And towards the back end of that plane, I'm going to cut the tail
right where,
off.
Right where the wings are?
I'm going to take right behind the wings, I'm going to cut that back end of that thing off, and I'm going to smoke that up separately. So if I'm on a bullet or a stack-up smoker or like a Primo oval extra large where it's got the upper rack and the lower rack, You know, I can have two levels of it. I'm going to put that thick point at the top where it's hottest.
Right.
Because it's going to take longer to cook. And then I'm going to, that flat is going to reach 150 before the point does. So I'm going to pull that off and wrap it earlier and then pull that point and deckle
separately.
And wrap
get them
that
both
later.
To that 196, 197.
And then again, just that flat is going to be done earlier as well. And I'm going to pull that the same way.
Okay, cool. So akin to the brisket is a little bit further back on the animal, something we often call brisket on a stick, and that is that full-bone beef rib.
Right.
And your butcher can cut these down so you've got just the meat on the rib, or it's kind of fun sometimes to leave some of that rib on there, and he'll French it back a little bit for you. So you got the Fred Flintstone deal where you've got...
Yeah, and if you just have them cut them in full ribs so that they're lengthwise... They don't even necessarily French them. What's going to happen when you smoke that thing, it's going to just release from the long end of that rib, and it's all going to scrunch down onto the end. It just contracts, and it does it on its own. It's a beautiful thing.
Right.
And it is Fred Flintstone meat.
No, it's man meat. It's time for some man law.
Now you're a man!
Ribs man law. I want to hear all of a sudden.
Yeah.
If your friend dies, you shall delete his browser history. Man law 47.
All right. Yep. Help a brother out.
That's right.
Help a brother out. Okay. So back to beef ribs. These I struggle with as well. And so walk me through, Bob. I've got this. It's a much smaller piece of meat than the brisket that we were talking about, but it's a similar
piece of meat. And when you get your butcher to cut these up, what they typically do is they cut them into short ribs.
Mm-hmm.
And that's okay, too. It just doesn't give you the effect that you and I like, where you got that big stick and you can walk around.
Food on a handle, know, like man, is where it's at.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And so you get them to cut a full rack, and he'll either cut them up into individual ribs for you, or you can smoke the whole rack.
Right.
Now, when I did all those roasts for the men's night at church,
yep.
Sobe took the rib section completely off and then trussed it together. Well, I untrussed them as soon as I got there, and I just smoked. I rubbed and smoked the whole roast.
Right.
Okay. That gave me all kinds of racks of beef ribs.
Sure.
And rubbed those and threw them on the smoker as well in full sections.
Right.
And then I cut them apart when I was serving the guys
right.
before the dinner started.
Right.
I had all these racks of ribs. And that's another nice way to do it. It's easier. But I had already taken so much of the meat off, it didn't really matter.
Right.
But there was still a beautiful, kind of a perfect amount of meat on there, actually.
Right. So when they're cooking, they shrink up, they move up. You'll have... depending on the length of the bone, you'll have a few inches of bone exposed and the rest of it is meat. And when they're done cooking, you're going to have more bone than meat because they slide up the bone.
Yep.
As they cook, contracts a little bit.
Yeah, and I'll tell you, if you do buy a standard roast like that with the ribs, a rib roast, and you have your butcher cut it apart and you're going to truss it up, I would say I wouldn't truss it up. For one thing, I think that's a bit of a falsehood because people say, well, you want the bone there because of the flair. Now, that bone already did its work. What you want is that roast to cook evenly without that barrier of the ribs on one side so you're not really cooking this thing to the same doneness.
Right.
So if you're doing standing rib, it's one thing. But if you're going to have it detached for presentation and have it fall, just cook it on its own. And then throw those ribs in the freezer until you get your smoker going the next time and then smoke all those up together because those things should be a standalone thing. You smoke up a rack of those beef ribs like that. Again, the mouth's watering right now. There's not much better than that. It's so brisket on a stick.
So are we doing the same thing? We're taking it up to like 196, 197? Are we wrapping it
150
and all of that?
When they look like they've pulled quite a bit, I'm going to wrap them. And I may or may not put any juice in there with them. They probably won't need it. There's so much fat on the ribs that they're going to hydrate themselves.
Right. But again, that 196, 197 temperature is where I want to pull them?
You know, you'll know when they're done. There's not a lot there to probe, and it varies all over the place. So
okay.
I would tell you that's just a touch thing.
Yeah.
I like touching beef ribs.
Well, yeah, I like tasting them. Yours are really good as well. I remember Rob Russell, Cowboy Rob Russell, is the first one that ever put a real one of those in front of me. And I was like,
this
is unbelievable.
Well, I think just when you saw it alone,
right.
You thought we were in heaven.
Right.
We were at the gates. We weren't there.
Coming up next, our friends at Al & Bob Sports here in Grand Rapids, Michigan. I have a brand new store that they're opening up next weekend. And we're going to talk with the proprietor, Merle Shoemaker. Stick with us. We'll be back.
I watched him drive away over the hill. Not against her will, I've got time to kill. Down in Broken Hartsville.
Hi, this is Tim Sobey. Sobey Meats is an 11-year-old business on Remembrance Drive in Walker. We have high-quality custom meats as well as seafood, produce, beer, and wine. Sobey Meats is proud to supply the barbecue enthusiasts with over 50 sauces, Kansas City and Memphis rubs, as well as barbecue supplies. Our meat counter is 60 feet long with 70 different homemade sausages. Check us out at SobeyMeats.com. That's SobeyMeats.com.
Welcome back. You listen to Grilling Guys on the Grilling Guys Talk Network. We appreciate you tuning in each and every weekend. And if you've been a longtime listener of the show, you're aware that we've had a sponsor from the very beginning, a company called Al & Bob Sports. And it's a single-site sporting goods store. And these guys are experts. They're not aisle managers. They're the real deal. And an exciting thing has happened in the last few months is that they've moved their business. They've expanded their business. And right now on the live line, we've got the proprietor, if you will, Mr. Merle Shoemaker. Hey, Merle, how you doing, brother?
I'm doing great, Jop. How you doing today?
You know what? I'm fantastic. Thanks. So how's that transition going? You moved right around the first of the year, and I'm sure you've just been settling in, haven't you, since then?
Yeah, we moved first of January after the first, and we're getting settled in now. It's been a whole lot of work, but it's a great new location right off the highway in M6, and everything is going real well. You know, we've got all of our stock in for the spring, and we're ready to sell everybody some stuff on our grand opening sale next week.
Hey, how you doing, buddy?
I'd
want to encourage everybody to check this new facility out because it is huge and it is very cool. So tell us what is everything on sale?
Yeah, pretty much, Bob. We're gonna do a type of Wheel of Fortune type of thing, you know. So you're gonna spin for your discounts. There's gonna be a lot of cool discounts given away. You know, some free goods. A lot of special, you know. Merchandise that's going to be on sale above and beyond, you know, those percentages in every department. We're just going to make it a fun thing, and we're going to get everybody out here to see our new location, and you know, see how much more merchandise than we had before, and it's just going to be a fun sale. You know, we want to have fun with it. We're going to have a lot of people out here. And,
so folks listening around Michigan and around the country, we're talking about Grand Rapids, Michigan. On the south end, there's a belt line that goes around the bottom end of Grand Rapids called M6. It's the bypass loop, Paul Henry, the M6. And then 131, where they meet, is 68th Street. You guys are right up on the southeast corner of that. You can see it from probably both freeways. It's a huge spot. You're going to see horse trailers and all kinds of stuff. But what a cool merging of businesses where you've got horse gear and horse. You guys have more cowboy boots than anybody I've ever seen. But the cool thing is you have a ton of bows going on sale right now.
Oh yeah, we have. We're liquidating some you know, 1, 2, 3 year old bows that are really super super deals. I mean, we have some bows that are regular $900 bows that are down to $299, Bob. And it's, you know, we're liquidating some of that. We have some of the new stuff on. But, you know, the cool thing about this sale, when they get their discounts, if you want a brand new 2018 model, you can spin the wheel, get a percentage off of that merchandise if you want. So, you know, we've got a bunch of different bows on sale, including the new ones. We're going to have targets on sale in the archery department. You know, just some really cool stuff, and you can get the percentage discount off of anything you want to in the store for the most part. There's a couple of exceptions there, but, you know, we have some new firearms as well that we're carrying now, and yeah, it's really been a fun transition.
Merle, thanks for making time for us. I know you're busy. This sale goes Thursday through Sunday next week. They can find you on the World Wide Web, can they, as well? What's that address?
Yeah, they can find us at allenbobs.com, allenbobs.com. And, you know, get all the information that they want to there, and they'll have our upcoming information about our, you know, photo contests and all
awesome.
Different types of things.
Cool,
right.
Buddy. Thanks so much for popping in. We'll see you at that event.
Thank you, guys.
Merle Shoemaker, Allen Bob Sports on the south side of Grand Rapids. It's going to be a great sale. Hey, we appreciate you tuning in each and every week to the Grilling Guys. Be safe out there and fire up a grill, and we'll talk with you next week.
When the lights come on, you're a little shy.